Yeah, I'd like to speak about the spirit of burning. So turn there with me, please, to Isaiah. We may be moving around a lot in our scripture. Isaiah 4. Yes. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Go now, please, to Jeremiah 15, 16. Follow with me. Let me back up. The Holy Spirit works through in history through people. We see it with Jesus Christ in the Gospels. We see it with his followers. We see it with the church in the book of Acts. And it's a Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. God is a holy God. And when the Spirit of God moved in the book of Acts, it was so clear that they had a different spirit. They had the Spirit of God. In the country, in our country, the United States of America, there's the kingdom of God is like a tree planted, grows up, and birds come and live in the tree. And in a way, in our country, it's like the Christianity came here, and then the birds have come and lived in the tree. What are the birds? You know, what are the birds? So we'll look at that in a minute. There is secular mindset, there is atheism, there are cults, there are different religions in our country with freedom in the minds and hearts of people. And we are living here, and God has called us to be awake, to have it in our heart, to have conviction and persuasion in our minds and in our hearts. And it's so important in the days that we are living to recognize something here. Turn to Jeremiah 15, please. In verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if you return, then will I bring you again, and you shall stand before me. And if you take forth the precious from the vile, if you take forth the precious from the vial. I dropped a ring down the sink, and I took the sink apart underneath to get the precious ring that was in a lot of gunk. Have you ever had to put your hand in the toilet to pull out something precious? You're like your iPhone. Have you had to go into mud, mire? Did you have to go to one part of the city you would have never gone to snatch your son or your daughter out of a vile, filthy place, out of a bad place, a bar room or something? Have you ever had to separate the precious from the vile? It's a good question. If you don't know anything about this, then it's very important that you would ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and teach you. Because God is not a dirty God. He's a clean God. And if we don't have any distinction between the filthy and the precious, or the precious and the vile, then we don't understand what it means to have a relationship with God. Remember, the prophet said to Jehoshaphat, "How can you be a friend of him that hates God?" Speaking about Ahab. Well, because we're friends of publicans and sinners. Yes, Jesus came into the world and was a friend, but it says also in Hebrews 7, he was separated from them. Even though he could sit in the midst of them, he was not agreeing with them in everything they were thinking and everything they were saying. He was anointed. He was different. He had the spirit of might and counsel. He had the spirit of quick understanding. In the book of Isaiah chapter 11, he had the spirit of burning. He was anointed by the spirit and not just the water of John the Baptist, but he had the Spirit of God that made him a holy man. Now, how does this happen in your life? How can you have persuasion and conviction in your heart? It happened to me this afternoon as I was thinking about the message, various thoughts, and thinking about it, and the Lord kind of got a hold of my spirit and my heart, and worshiping him and realizing how precious it is that there's a difference between us and the Egyptians in Exodus chapter 10, that we are not like the world. But we're going to vote in November, and you pray about it, but you register and you vote. They say that 24% of evangelicals in the United States aren't even registered. And it's our civic duty not to have the bad guys get in office. Just say bad guys. Say that with me. Bad guy. You are a bad guy. Bad guys. Get used to the idea. Bad guys. They're bad guys. They are. They're bad guys. They're bad guys. Well, there's a lot of bad guys around. Just look around to your right and left. There are. There's a lot of bad guys. But you know what? If you can, let's read the verse, Jeremiah 15, verse 19. It says, "If you return, I will bring you again, and you shall stand before me. And if you take the precious from the vile," if you can do that, separate them. You know how Jewish law was, you could have the food, but you couldn't eat the shrimp, right? Couldn't have the shrimp. And I think some of you are violating that on a regular basis. I've seen you. Okay. You know what? The Jews are known for this. The Jews are known for this. Even basement waterproofing, if the water is standing still in the basement of a cellar in a Jewish house, it's violating the law. They'll call Pete Wastera right up and say, "Get over here and deal with this thing. I can't have water standing." Isn't that brilliant? Yeah. And the scientists today will tell you that. It's unhealthy. Where'd they get that from? God. The water's got to be running. Water's got to be running. The Jews are known for this. This is beautiful. And the Lord is saying something deeper. If you don't know the difference, there's something not right. You got to know the difference. And if you live in the United States of America and you don't see what's going on, and you don't realize and you don't have any, it doesn't mean much to you, then you need to get a hold of what's happening. And if you are saved and you are by God's grace and now walk in the Spirit of God, and as you make good decisions and separating the precious from the vile, then what will happen? You shall be as my mouth. Wouldn't that be amazing if we were the mouth of God? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, good news. You are. You are the mouth of God. You are. You have a ministry from God. God is with your mouth. And what are you saying? You're saying, yuck. You're able to say, yuck. And you're able to say, precious, precious. It's precious. Yeah, so where did this come from? I have to say, it comes and goes in my life because you can't figure it out. It's spiritual. Sometimes that spirit of burning is something I can feel or sense. Sometimes it's just faith. I don't feel anything at all. But sometimes I'm so excited about my faith. I'm so excited about what I believe. I'm so excited about seeing God one day. I'm so excited about the body of Christ. I'm so excited about my friends. I'm so excited about holiness that is so exciting in my heart. There's no end to it. It's infinite. It's awesome. It's the nature of God is with us. But we have brought into our country, turn to Ezekiel. Vilmo shared this with me today, and I like it a lot. Ezekiel 16:49. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. How are we doing up there? There we go. Thank you. Behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. Now, who's talking but God? And who is he talking to but Israel? And he says, Israel, your sister is Sodom. This is it's like a figure of speech. It's like a, I don't want to say sarcasm, but it's some figure of speech. I don't know how it would be labeled. But your sister is Sodom. And we know that Sodom is a bad place. Actually, Sodom was a beautiful place. It was actually a beautiful place. But it was an immoral place. It's like beautiful, but wrong. And Sodom is your sister. And then he goes on and he says, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her. Now, you know, I love America. I love our world. I love our culture. I love many things about it. But there are many things that are not right. And I have to recognize that. And there's something here that kind of parallels us. And it is fullness of bread. And it's also pride. And also abundance of idleness. What kind of idleness? I mean, what's your mission? What's your vision? What are you doing? What's your life about? Do you have idleness? Like, what are you doing? Is it about recreation or hanging out? Is it about nothing? Is it about, you know, what is it? You have an abundance of time and wealth, and therefore you have a lot of idleness. You have pornography. You have your computer, your everything, all that stuff. Now, don't misunderstand what I want to say tonight. Guys, this is the way it is anyway. But I want to say, if you can't separate the precious from the vile, then you like that. That's what I'm trying to say. We have to have it. How many churches can separate the believers, can separate the precious from this? Is there pride? Is there abundance of idleness? And I can't help but think that's a message for Pastor Love sometime. You want to preach that, make a message on that, I'm sure you'd do a good job on that. Abundance of idleness. How many hours? How much time? And then, how much money do we spend on our pets and our dogs, our vacations and our treatments and everything else? Read the next part. It goes, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. I heard that our charity giving for animals has exceeded the charity giving for poor people. We give more money for animals and preservation of animals than we do for poor people. Do you care about poor people? Not you, but I'm saying to in our world. Do we have things upside down? Yeah. Are we killing our babies? Are we crying social justice when actually, what am I doing on the street every day to help people? What am I doing in giving to people what they need? Is there any humility? Is there any honesty? Or is there a lot of hypocrisy, arrogance and hypocrisy, you know? So that's my social, that's my commentary on that. Now go to Malachi and we will finish with a good word. With that, that's a very good message. And Pastor Love, give him a hand for the message he's going to preach one day. Now, listen, I believe we're at the end times in history. I believe that the election is November 3rd. You can write this down. I believe on November 4th, we're raptured out of here. You know, election will happen, and then on the 4th, we're gone. Man, everybody can have their way, but we're in another place. Hallelujah. Come on. November 4th. 2020. I gave the date, so all right. I'm a false prophet. You knew that already, anyway. So anyway, why are you here? Okay. All right. Listen. Before Jesus comes, there's a troubled times, troublous times. And we read about that. And one of the characteristics of it is deception. People being deceived. That's why I'm talking to you tonight about it. The spirit of burning is not a spirit of deception. Spirit of burning is the spirit of God. And you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference between a Christ and a false Christ. A prophet and a false prophet. You can tell the difference between holiness and unholiness. You can tell. But in the book of Malachi, the Jewish people, this is the last book of the Old Testament, the Jewish people couldn't tell the difference, but they were arrogant. God would say, you've tired me out. And they say, well, what do you mean? We've tired you out. He said, you've robbed me. Wherein have we robbed you? There's seven times this word, wherein or wherefore. It means like a teenager when the mother says, clean your room, and he goes upstairs and he moves his shoes from here to over here, and then he goes out and play, hey, come on back, did you clean your... Yes, I did. What? I did. I moved my shoes from there to there. What? You know the idea. Man is like this, but not when you are spirit-filled, not when you have the Spirit of God in your heart. You're right there with the Lord in your heart. You're not treacherous. It is an interesting portion because of time. I just want to hit a couple things, but one interesting thing is the wife of your youth. And divorcing the wife of your youth with a treacherous spirit. It's like a very interesting phrase. Let's put it up on the screen. Malachi chapter 2 in verse 14. Yet you say, wherefore? That idea. What are you talking about? Verse 14. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth. In other words, he has been in the midst, we could say, a marriage counseling session with the husband and wife, and the Lord is right in the midst, and he's discerning. And he's discerning the spirit of the man. And he says that the man is treacherous. Look at it, verse 14. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, because whom you have dealt treacherously. Now that is shocking to me. Why is the man treacherously relating to his wife? He's blaming her or accusing her, or he's going to divorce her. It's right there in verse 15. Well, verse 14. Yet is she your companion and the wife of your covenant, and did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit, wherefore one, that he might seek a goodly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Again in 16, that's that word. Now, I think it happens to us. I'm not honest with you. I'm dealing treacherously with my, in the case of my marriage, it could be I'm not in the spirit. I'm getting rid of my wife. The wife, what kind of wife? Wife of my youth, from my beginning, my young years, when I was so much in love with her, and now there's something dishonest going on in me. And the Lord is like pointing that out. But they're saying, what are you talking about? I don't believe that. That's not, and God is saying, yeah, that is your state. Could I say that in the United States of America, we have a church that is ridiculously entertaining false, more immoral, and false doctrines and errors of practice that are ridiculous? A church is divided over homosexuality. There shouldn't even be a discussion about it. I mean, other than love. We love everybody. There's no difference. Love, everybody is welcome. But homosexuality is sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Leviticus 18, 22, Romans chapter 1, verse 27. There's no doubt about it. But that church, what has happened? They don't, what, you know? God is love. We love one another. What's missing? The spirit of burning. And when you and I have that, it's not about homosexuality. It isn't. It's not about that. That's not the point. There's something deeper. It's about me. I have sinned. I have sinned. God is loving me. God is teaching me doctrine. God is teaching me how to live. God is teaching me to be a servant. God is teaching me worship. When you find Jesus Christ, it's like sin is not the primary issue. It is regarding salvation, absolutely. It is in life. There's no question about it. But I'm trying to say, and if you will follow this pulpit, you'll understand what I mean. That we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, and nobody is doing me any favor by letting me live in my cheating. I put my shoes from here over to there, you know. I go into the gunk, into the sink, and say it's all the same, it's all gunk, or it's all precious. No. Okay, lastly, so that was a little, you know, side comment on Malachi. This is all, every one of these could be a message in themselves, but I wanted to get to this part and finish up. It's chapter 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me. Your words have been stout against me. Malachi 3, verse 13. Could you come up with your own definition of the word stout and tell your neighbor what does it mean? No. Do you know what? Who's speaking? God is saying to Israel, your words have been strong against me. Your words have been, what's the other word? Hard against me. I hear it on the streets. I hear people getting angry with God. They're angry with God. I know the spirit of it. We are proud, rich, well-fed, idle people. And we're saying the world shouldn't be this way. And that's not right, what happened to him or her. And I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in hell. These are stout words against God. There's no discerning in it. There's no humility. This world is not based on you and me. This world is based on God. And God made it. And he's telling us something. And we're to be respectful and humble before him and listening to what he has to say to us. And by his grace, the Spirit will fill us and we will walk receiving what he has to have, and we'll have the spirit of burning. It'll get in you. It's in your spirit, and you'll just say in a beautiful, satisfying way, because this is where satisfaction comes. Human satisfaction comes from God. It's as if every other thing cannot satisfy. It's truth that sets us free. So God said this to the Jewish people, the Israelites, and he said, and they said, what have we spoken so much against you? What we haven't said? You've said it is vain to serve God. Have you ever heard anybody say, I went to Bible college, it was a waste of time? I have. Have you ever heard anybody say, I was a Christian once, it didn't work for me? Doesn't work, doesn't mean anything. I don't care, I became a Jehovah's Witness. Where were you before? I was a Baptist. What did you learn as a Baptist that you could become a Jehovah's Witness? What happened? How could that be? Are you born again? Do you have the Spirit of God? Many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, did we not? And, you know, prophesy in your name and do miracles. And I never knew you. I never knew you. Wow. Because we're good at this. We can take it up and we can believe it. We can practice it. We're good at it. But do we have the Spirit of God in our spirit burning? John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water. He'll baptize you with fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And when that fire is in our life, we come to a church that's on fire. Why when COVID-19 happened, we just can't stop? We just kind of ooze out the cracks. You know, like this pizza dough in the refrigerator. The guys made so much of it, they didn't know what they were doing. They put in a little refrigerator. Soon they look a couple hours later, it's oozing out through the rubber seams of the refrigerator door. It's just oozing out because the Spirit of God is in us. We cannot stop. We cannot stop. We cannot stop. It's too good. We are too hungry. Now listen, can you lose your hunger? Yes. Lose your burning? Yes. Can you get tired? Yes. Yes, absolutely. But they that wait upon me There it is. They that wait upon me, they'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. Don't give up. In your heart, you can say, I'm dead. I'm beat. Remember Elijah? Be like the United States of America right today. And Elijah shows up and he does this amazing thing and he faces off with Jezebel. And there's plenty of Jezebels around in this world. And he faces off and you couldn't stop him. And he's clear and he's got a message. And there he is. And he says, I think I'm the only one left. I think I'm the only one that's like this. But the Lord says, no. I've got 7,000 in California and Utah and South Dakota. And I got some in Florida. And I got one in Texas and Houston. No, oh no. You might feel alone, but we are not. And the thing that we want to focus on, I mean, social issues are one thing, but they'll always be here. The vile is here, but we got to find the precious. And when we find the precious, we will say, it's an honor, you know. Okay, go to the next part. It goes 14. You have said it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What profit is it? What profit is it that I've done this? What profit is it that I have made all this investment and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Do you know who we call happy in America? Who do we call happy? The people, the rich people, they're happy. The professional athletes, they're happy. The movie stars, they're happy. The high-paid professors and businessmen, they're happy. We say the people that are representing all these immoral causes and everything, they're happy. That's what people say. And you can't say that. You can't say that because you find out that they're not actually happy. And you also realize in your heart, the thing that makes me happy is the Holy Spirit in me. The quietness, the peace, you know, to just think we can lay down and go to sleep in peace. Just think we have power in our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. Just think I don't hate anybody. Thank you, Jesus. Just think I've got my friends, my sisters, my brothers. I got an open Bible. Just think I got a mission. We can see people go to other countries and preach the gospel. Just think we're just so honored by the living God. Angels come and go on us, Psalm 34, verse 7. That everything works together for good for us, Romans 8, 28. That we're more than conquerors. That we are blessed in many precious ways. So just think about that. The proud are happy. That's what they say. But what do you say? The holy are joyful. Verse 14, 15. Now we call the proud happy. Yea, that the work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Look at how backwards it is. Please make note of it. But because of time, I want to finish you. But you've been really good listeners. But I think it could. I could finish this with a big. Big crescendo here. A big, you know, whoa. Are we ready for this? Do you see how the world is? Abundance of idleness, pride, fullness. Their belly is full. They're doing whatever they want. They're ordering people around. They're doing the whole thing. There's a lot of strength. And then there's in the Christian world, yeah, the proud are happy and it doesn't matter. And we're living in this age, this is the 21st century and everything. And so all this deception and blindness is happening and in the church too. But then come to verse 16. It says, then they that feared the Lord. You could weep saying that. And they that feared the Lord, they shut up. They got real humble. They fasted. They suffered. When we were in Bible college, we got ourselves prepared for mission field by sleeping on the floor. And I would be on the floor and I look up at my mattress. It looked beautiful. I want to be in my mat. No, I'm a missionary. There is no suffering. There is no sacrifice. It's just abundance of bread and idleness and just my way and my talking and my arrogance on a university campus saying whatever I want to say to whoever I want to say it. And that's the way it is in the world. Do you know any difference? They that feared the Lord, what did they do? Verse 16, they spake often one to another. They speak often one to another, like we do. Like you come here on a Wednesday night. Because we speak often one to another. After the service is over, we'll be with our friends, we'll be talking. It's a highlight. We love it so much. We speak often one to another. Then they that feared the Lord, they had something to say from the Lord. They had a discernment. They had wisdom. They had the gift. They had a ministry. They had love. They had an anointing. And it said the Lord hearkened, was listening to them, and he heard it. He listened to them. God in heaven is listening to us. Woo! Tonight. God in heaven is listening to us tonight. What did he do? He not only heard it, but what? Wrote it in a book. It was in a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, these people, these few. These that fear me, they will be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen. The ladies have these boxes for their jewelry, right? What are those called? I forget. Wait a minute, that's difficult to understand. A jewelry box. Oh. And in that jewelry box, they're lined with green felt and precious little, and that velvet, and then they put it in, and it's there, and there's a lock on it, and then in the room, and there's a red carpet that goes up. I mean, is that jewelry precious? Is that jewelry something special? Do they have a special place for it? Isn't it a special place in the box? Yeah, God is saying, these people are precious to me. They're in a special place. They're in a special place in my heart. They are separated from. They just are like jewels. We'll read the verse. Is it 17? They shall be mine, say the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Would Eric Turk spare his son, Zane? Yeah. Pastor Gary Granville, spare Nick over here. No joking, no joking. Would you spare him? Yeah, of course, Nick, we love you. Awesome. A man and his son. Ah, he's precious to me. He is precious, the Lord is saying. That's what I want. That's what I have. And don't be common, but trust me. And trust me, because the United States of America doesn't need the garbage. They need people like you and I. And we got something. And care for it. And cultivate it. And walk in it. And don't give up. One thing. It may be it grows slow like a big oak tree. But it's alive. You might say, I'm dead as a doornail. No. You're just not moving much. No, you're alive. The juice is in you. You got it. You got it. Be patient. God is with you. And he'll never fail you. God is with you. Be patient. And it's yours. It's in you. Okay, amen. Would you pray? pray with me. Thanks for your clapping. You don't need to do that. I mean, if you have fun doing it, you can. All right, so. Thank you, Lord. We're in difficult times, God. We can't live like the average. We got to find our way. We got to find our way and make decisions. Yeah, find our way and have the spirit of burning in our lives, Lord. We want it. Thank you. We have it. We're different. And you hear us. And for every family represented here, everything we're doing, please help us and lead us in it in Jesus' name. Anyone listening, please come to Jesus tonight. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Save me. Please say that prayer by faith. Walk by faith in God. Your life is different. You might say, not mine. Yes, yours. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Jesus' name, amen.